fellowships with us, Lord. On this day, Lord, where we've set aside, Lord, to come and to render praise to you, Lord, and to receive from word from you, we ask for your guidance now in this service and your blessing on each and every individual that's here, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to read from John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. John chapter 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You may be seated. What I'd like to speak on this morning for a little bit is a place for you. You know, the Bible tells us that God created hell for the devil and his angels. Hell wasn't created for people. But there are people who, even though they hear this word, that Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, they choose not to go to that place. They have no vision of that place. There are people who don't even believe in life after death. And for those that do, and yet, you know, Jesus said, where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas asked him, Lord, how can we know the way? And he said, I am the way. I am the way. So he spoke to anyone that can read can see that Jesus is the way to get to this place that he's talked about, that he's preparing for us. And to think about the love that Jesus would have toward you, that he would say, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, first, what that means is, we know that God created the heavens and the earth from before in the beginning. But there's a place in heaven that Jesus said he was going to go prepare. And that place is a city. And the prophet has told us that Jesus is going to prepare it just to what you like. Now, you know, we can read in the Bible where it says the walls are made of jasper. And if I was to ask, there may be a handful here to even know what jasper is, or what jasper even looks like. But it said the gates are going to be made of pearl. The streets of gold. And, you know, there's a little story that's told about a man that was going to heaven, and he packed with him some gold bullion. And when he got there, Peter looked in his case and said, you brought pavement with you? So, this, you know, we can read these things about what the city is made of. But there's going to be things that are particular to you that aren't recorded. There's going to be things that are particularly to your likes that are not recorded. But Jesus knows what they are. And to think the love he has for us, that He wanted to prepare a place for us to where we could be with him. You know, when two people meet and they are thinking about getting married, why, the man usually is thinking about where is he going to take his bride. Well, he didn't want her to stay 5 miles down the road from him. He don't want her to be 20 miles away from him staying. He wants her to stay where he's at. And that's the way Jesus is and what Jesus was saying. Friends, he's coming back after a bride, and he wants us to be where he's at. He doesn't want us to be in another dimension from him like we are right now. That's not his desire. But he's going away, and he's making it ready so that when we go there, everything is already complete. Brother Branham said, Jesus is there right now under construction of the place for you. It's under construction. I know he can speak the word and things just come to being. It's like God did in the beginning. And I don't say that Jesus is doing preparing this place by hand. But friends, he's got a whole lot of angels. Things are being set just exactly the way they should be. It talks about the gates being made of pearl. And that the streets, though they're paved with gold, looking like transparent glass. It says this in the book of Revelations. Revelations 21, if you want to mark it down. But it says there's going to be no more death. Think about this place you're preparing for us. There's not going to be any more death. There's not going to be any more sorrow. There's not going to be any more loneliness. No more lonely days. No more lonely nights. No more pleading over wayward loved ones. No, as the song says, no lonely nights in pleading prayer. Because we're going to a meeting in the air. And you know, those that have died, the prophet has taught us that those that have went by the way of the grave, they're not in that place right now. Because they without us are not made perfect. They're in theophany bodies. To go to that place, you got to be in a glorified body. And the way to get to that place is through the rapture. And the dead in Christ, they haven't been raptured yet. They're just in a dimension of the saved. They're in a dimension where those that are born again that go by the way of the grave are right now. Brother Branham even said, when he asked where Jesus was, they said, oh, he's on up a little higher. We haven't seen him yet. They don't even get to see him yet until they see him with us. We've got to be reunited with those that have went by the way of the grave before they can go any further than where they are. So they're not in this place that he's preparing. They're waiting just as much as you are. They're longing. Friends, look, they're in a place where there's no death. They're in a place where there's no sorrow. They're in a place where there's no sickness. But they haven't made it to that place yet. They're longing for it as much as you are. They're longing to see Jesus as much as you're longing to see him. They've been reunited with other loved ones that have went on before. They've been reunited with other acquaintances and people that they've heard about from their age. But they haven't seen Jesus yet. He's got to come back, he said. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now, I know he's come in the fullness of the word, but there is a corporal coming of a corporal body of the Lord Jesus. And he's coming back after us. And that hasn't happened yet. I believe we're at the brink of that happening. You know, I was going back through my old files yesterday. And I wasn't looking at notes. I was going back through old files that I had of different things that I'd saved, some things from the news and some things from different things people had sent me in that. And I pulled up something that kind of struck me. It was from 2014. And in 2014, Putin was threatening nuclear war over the whole thing of Ukraine. In 2014. Now here we are in 2022, and he's going in to Ukraine. And I thought, well, how in the world, this is in my files, how in the world did I forget about this? But that was in 2014. Look how much closer we are today. Evidently I had that in my files because I was pointing at it as being something looking at what time we were living in. But that was, what, 6 years ago? Or 8 years ago? 8 years ago I was pointing at what time we were living in. Now here we are 8 years down the road, and Putin's not threatening anymore. Putin's saying, look, if you try to stop me, you know what's going to happen. And I mean, look, I don't mean to get political on these things. But friends, I just want to say this. There isn't anybody in power in the United States that Putin is afraid of. Let me just say it that way. I don't want to say something, you know, derogatory about somebody, but Putin's not afraid of anybody we've got. Any threat that would come from here would be a joke to him. But it shows you how much further along we are on this time scale. How much closer we are, friends, to the coming of the Lord. To leaving out of here. To going to a place where the Bible says there's no sorrow and no crying. No crying. And neither shall there be any pain, for the former things are passed away. No pain. You know, this week my wife and I, we went down our driveway, you know, and we live in the woods and the things just really growed up around us over the years that we've lived there. And branches were hanging low down across and over the driveway. So we were going down through there, cutting limbs and throwing them aside to keep them from scratching vehicles and so on. And when I got done, man, I was sore. And just from, you know, she had one clippers and I had another larger set, you know, that would cut bigger stuff. And we were, you know, there wasn't no power tools. We didn't run no electric cords down there. This was all manpower, you know. And so here we were doing this, and we got done. Both of us were sore, and we were tired. And by the time we ate and got cleaned up, we were ready for bed. And I can remember a time when I was, well, when I was about the age of my son back there on the back row. Buddy, I didn't feel tired like that then. When I was in my 30s, I could go, you know. I could, now Brother Phil, you know, he's still trying to be an Olympian. But I can remember a time when I used to run with him. I couldn't do that now. And I've got arthritis that's really bad. And I got a bad back. And my back, I'll tell you what, from 3 o'clock this morning till 5:30, I laid in bed in misery with my back. It just killing me. And I even grabbed my phone at one point and to try to look something up, to try to figure out what in the world is wrong with my back. Why is it hurting me so bad? And it's like a muscle spasm or something. And it was aching, and I thought, well, is it my kidneys? And so I looked that up, and it said, no, the kidneys was going to be a pain higher up in my back than where this pain was. And so, you know, but I'm not as young as I used to be, and some of y'all sitting here, I don't know how in the world y'all even making it, because you're older than I am. How in the world you even get out of bed? I have no idea. My hat's off to you. You know, I think about here, Brother Phil's 60 already. You know, but I look around and I see people that's 80 and so forth, and I think, my goodness, how in the world are you doing it? And I'll tell you what, when I was 30, I had no idea what it was going to feel like. I didn't have a clue. When I came here to pastor a church, I was 35 years old. And I can remember going out and playing softball and playing volleyball and doing all these things. I think it would kill me today. I just, some of the things I did when I was in the Army took their toll on me. And I at one time was jumping up in the back of a truck in the Army, and I cracked my knee on the tailgate of a deuce and a half. And that knee has bothered me ever since. You know, I broke my ankle right after basic training. I didn't tell anybody about it. I was afraid I'd get in trouble, so I went on to further training in the Army. Ran PT and everything else on a broken ankle with it just wrapped up. I didn't want to tell nobody about it. And I know for sure it was broken because some years later I went to a sports doctor and he told me, he said, one time you broke your ankle and it healed on its own. I said, yeah, I can tell you when it was. And then more than a year ago, this coming December would be 2 years. I was going out on a Sunday morning, walking down the boardwalk we had, and I had the big Great Dane that I own, had him on the leash, and he pulled on me, and I don't know if you know anything about Great Danes, but when they pull, you go. And when he pulled on him, I slipped on that boardwalk and fell, and my foot bent back under me. And I still have trouble with that ankle. It's the same ankle I had broke before. And it feels weak on me. It'll go out on me sometimes. I don't know if I broke it again or not, but I just went on and walked on it. Limped into church that morning and preached. You know, But we're going to a place where there won't be any more of that. You know, there's not going to be any more sprained ankles. There's not going to be any more pulled muscles. There's not going to be any more aches and pains. Arthritis is not welcome in that place. You'll have full use of your hands and your fingers where arthritis begins to cripple them up. But it won't be there. There ain't going to be no old people there. We're going to be young. And you know, even now, you know, if you go back and you study about even like sports compared to what they were years ago, like football. They used to wear leather helmets and didn't hardly have no padding at all. And, you know, they played that rough game, but they was rougher people. People were tougher back then. We've got weak with all this hybrid food and easy living. Made us weak. So now, even being 20 years old, you're not as strong as a 20-year-old was years ago. You say, well, we live longer. That's because medical science has advanced. So being 20 here and being 20 in this place that Jesus has prepared, there's no going to be no comparison. You could be young here, think, well, I know what it's going to be like over there. No, you don't. Because young here isn't going to compare to young there. Because young here, you're getting older every minute that goes by. But there's no growing old. When one day passes and you go into the next day, you're not going to be any older. There's not going to be any more birthdays. You know, young children, when they go to celebrate birthdays, you know, they get excited. And they can't wait. Many times, you know, they'll turn, say, 9, and by tomorrow they're going on 10. You know, and as you get a little older, you begin to look at the birthdays a little different. You know... When you're one day out from your birthday, you're still telling people you're the other age. I'll be 59 on December 12th. I won't be 60 until the 13th. You understand what I'm saying? So it's going to be different. No more birthdays. You don't have to worry about it. You won't have to turn your candles around. I know secrets. It ain't gonna be no more age. Wow. You know, you go out in the sun. Some people go out there and lay like lizards in the sun, baking. You know. And you could tell them, you know, that's bad for your skin, but they don't care. Don't you know that it causes skin cancer? They don't care. But look, friends, there ain't going to be no skin cancer over there. You know why? There ain't going to be no sun. No sunburns. Where's little Rose at? Rose, there's no ticks. In that place, you won't get bit no more. There ain't going to be no pestilence. You know, there was a lot of pestilence that came into being because of Pharaoh in Egypt, and Pharaoh not wanting to listen to the voice of God. what's going to be different? I just read, Brother Branham was talking about being up in someplace up in Alaska. And I don't want to get too much into that because I will here in a little bit, but he was talking about someplace he was up in Alaska hunting and how it got kind of hot, and so they moved over onto the glaciers to kind of cool down. And he was talking about the mountains and the way it looked and everything. He says, Lord, I hope you let me be here in the millennium time. And I'll be honest with you, that's been a thought that's been on my mind since I was a young man. From the first time I met my wife, she can tell you me talking about where I wanted to be in the millennium. And I told her, I don't really care for flat country. I was born in the mountains, and as a little kid, I loved playing in the mountains, and I really don't care too much for flat country. But I do like water, too. So I'm not really sure yet. But I know I can travel like a thought.
Right.
You know. And but I've often thought about, where do I want to be in a millennium? Where do I want to live at? Because, you know, in this life, you think you get a choice, but in actuality, if you really think about it, how much choice did you really get about where you live? Some of y'all were born here. Some of y'all were born around here. And time tarries, you're going to die around here. You ain't never going to leave and go nowhere. And the reason you're here is because you was born here. It wasn't because you chose where you wanted to be. This is where you are. And God's placed you here. Now, there's people of this earth. Earth people. And this is all they're ever going to have. There ain't going to be no millennium time for them. Brother Branham actually even said, this is their millennium now. And some of them chose, well, they wanted to live in California, or they wanted to move, and they wanted to live down on the ocean in Florida or somewhere. And they build great big homes and everything. Brother Branham said, this is all the millennium they're ever going to have. And in their millennium, there's pain, there's suffering, there's sickness. How many of them has died of diseases? And there's no happiness. You would think them having all the money that they could ever want, having nice places to live here, that they'd be happy, but they're not. They still get depressed. They can put on a front of being happy. I've thought about the late actor Robin Williams, you know, a real funny guy, they said. And yet he committed suicide. Had everything. But his wife talked about how sad and depressed he was all the time. Miserable. He used laughter, I guess, to try to cover it up, hide behind. But eventually caught up with him. And this was his millennium. And it's over. Now, we know our millennium is going to last for 1,000 years. But at the end of that 1,000 years, our life's not going to be over. Our happiness is not going to be over. We're going to be caught back up into heaven to the place that he's prepared for us. Because during the millennium, that place is going to remain in heaven. It can't come down here and touch on earth yet. It can't come down and touch on earth, that new city, until the heavens and earth have been burned over. And that's going to be after the time of the millennium, after the white throne judgment. And then it says this whole earth will be burned over with fire, and there will be a new heavens and a new earth. You ain't got to worry about holes in the ozone layer, because there's going to be a new heaven, a new atmosphere. Hallelujah. Today we have our trials, our weariness. But we know we're going over because he gave us a promise. One day we're going to cross the river. The old Jordan, Brother Branham said, we'll come to it. We'll cross that river into the promise, into the promised land. That he's preparing for us. Every day that goes by marks another milestone. Another day, another milestone. Another step closer to that place. Why would people choose this world and the things of this world? They're all going to pass away. Why would they choose that? Why would they choose the pleasures of this world over, friends, look, it's going to be pleasurable to be there in that place that he's preparing for us. We're going to be happy. You can't even compare the human pleasure that we think of today with what we're going to experience there. He promised that there's life after death. A place where you'll live forever. That's the reason he said he was going away. Was to prepare that place. Brother Branham says there's people, religious people, who have become earthbound. They're bound to their organizations. They're bound to their ideologies. Their creeds. Their dogmas. There's only one way to get in, and that's Christ. And who is Christ? He's the Word. And without coming into the Word of today, you're not going to make that rapture. We've preached on this before. Sure, there's going to be people saved that are not part of the bride. But friends, the bride is the one that's going in the rapture. If you're part of the bride, then you're going in the rapture. And the Holy Spirit, he's our tutor, not some bishop who is trying to get points to become archbishop. But it's the Holy Spirit. He's the one. Think about, Brother Branham says, when he has to report back about the religious people. They're not listening. They don't believe in the word that you sent. They've explained it away. I went to a wedding one time. This was years ago when I was living in Ohio. And at that wedding, it was a wedding of a friend. But they were having somebody else was conducting that wedding, some denominational preacher. And he read the scripture from Ephesians about as Christ is the head of the church, so let the husband be head of the wife. But then he took the next 10, 15 minutes to explain why that scripture no longer applied that way. That back then when Paul spoke that, women weren't educated, so that's why that Paul had said that. But now women are educated, so it doesn't mean that anymore. That doesn't apply. And I thought, my goodness. I mean, I've never forgot it to this day, and it's probably been, goodness, it's probably been 30-some years ago or more that that happened, and I've never forgotten it. And that's what they do today. Friends, when someone would ask, one of their members would ask them a question about something in the Word that doesn't go along with their bylaws and their creeds and their way of belief, they explain it away by something to do with, you know, well, the way things were back then compared to how things are today and all this and the other. Well, that was just for the apostles. And they've become earthbound. They still think they're going to that place. They know of that place because they can read the Word. And they'll tell you they believe it. But if you believed it, you would live like you were going there. I can remember when I was a kid, and my parents would tell me they were taking me to some place like an amusement park or something, you know. For a kid, if you're going someplace like that or someplace that, you know, that you're excited about, your dad tell you he's taking you fishing or whatever, then you get excited about doing this and you're looking forward to doing it. And you act like you're going to go do it. You're not walking around in the mully grubs as a child. You're happy and excited. You can't hardly sleep the night before because you're just ready to go. I still get that way at my age. Where I'm getting ready to go somewhere, and I've actually said, well, because I like to travel at night. Believe it or not, I stay awake at night, but I get sleepy during the day. And, you know, it's pretty hard to take a nap while you're driving. So the sun makes me get sleepy. But at night, I can get refreshed. I can stay awake and go, so I like to travel at night. So I'll try to sleep some hours during the day to get ready for that night. But in that night, then there's times I'm trying to sleep to get, you know, to get enough rest and get ready, and I can't sleep. And I'll say, well, why lay here awake? I might as well get up, get in the car, and drive, because I'm already awake anyhow. Just excited about it. Well, this place that he said that he's going to take us to, I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to going. I'm living, my life is reflecting that I'm going somewhere. What Brother Branham was saying about this religious people was what their life was reflecting was that they were earthbound. They were thinking about all these things they could have and do here on this earth. Friends, I don't own a vehicle that would stop me from going to heaven. I like cars. I like sports cars. I like trucks. I like these different things. But I don't own any that I can't leave behind. There's nothing I have in this world. Say, well, yeah, well, you ain't rich. Even if I was rich, what would it compare to the place where we're going. Because everything here comes to an end. When I came here to pastor at age of 35, Brother Jim, there was no way that I could look in the future and see myself at 60. It was impossible for me to do that because I had never been there before, so I had no idea what it was going to be like. Last December, my aunt that I always went and visited in West Virginia passed away at the age of 80. Well, she was going to be 82. She was going to turn 82 in February, and she died right at the end of December. You know what she told her daughter when she was in the hospital before she died? She said, "I'm just so tired." She said, "I'm tired of living." My mom said that's what my dad told her not too long before he passed away. He said, "I'm just tired." He said, "I'm tired of fighting these health issues. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of going to doctors. I'm just tired of this." That's what this life has to offer. And like I said, it may be hard to see that when you're young. But if you can just take it from me this morning, young is only for a short time. Moses described our life as like a blade of grass. Our life has been likened to, as Job likened it, to a flower that comes up in the spring and blooms. And then shows its life through the summer, and in the fall it dies. And that's what our life's like. But as the song says, oh, there'll be another spring. And friends, it's going to last forever. There ain't going to be no more wilting and fading and getting old and dying. For you young brothers and sisters, let me just say this. When you were a child and you were outside playing, and you would go outside to play when the sun come up, and you would stay outside all day long. Now, the kids of today, we got to knock them off their phones and games and everything else to get them outside sometimes. But, you know, you would stay outside all day long until nighttime fell. And you wouldn't even come in when it got dark until mom said, "You got to come in." It seemed like the day lasted so long. How long do they last now? When I was a kid, it seemed like, of course, summers, in a way, were longer than what they are around here. I mean, I just can't believe this. Kids get out and, you know, end of May and got to go back in August. That's ridiculous. I got out before Memorial Day and I didn't go back till after Labor Day. We had some long summers. And summer was so long. But friends, it's already August. Labor Day's just around the corner. It passes so quickly. Sometimes I'm trying to find something that I've preached on before. A thought will come to me and I know, oh, I remember I had such and such down and I studied on this, and I know there were some quotes in there on this, and I'll go back through and say, well, I'll find that. And it's further back than what I thought it was. I keep my notes by years. And so it'll be further back in years than what I thought it was. I preached it that long ago? That long ago I studied on that? And you know, our technology has changed over the years that I've been here. And I was using a computer when I first came here, but it was a whole lot different. We stored things on disks, and I don't want to get into all of it, but, you know, things were stored different ways than that. And now you store them in the cloud and everything else. And, you know, I don't even know where that place is. But I know I can pull it up from anywhere I'm at. You give me a computer and I can pull it up. Give me an iPad and I can get into it. Anywhere I'm at, it don't even have to be mine. It can be somebody else's and I can get into it. I've actually been somewhere before and my iPad got to acting up on me, wouldn't work right, and I preached from my phone, little old tiny screen. There's notes I had back then that I kept them on paper. I printed my notes out on paper. I didn't have it like I do today. And so I had files and files and files. And I went through them. And I wondered, what am I going to do with all this? I couldn't find something if I wanted to in here. I can remember sitting down saying, I've preached on such and such a thing. Let me find that. And I would go through stacks of papers that I had paper clipped together, trying to find it. You know what I did with it? I got rid of all of it. So there was, I figured if I'm going to preach on it again, I'll just have to restudy it. Because, you know, well, a lot of it's up here anyhow. And things have changed. You remember when everybody was talking about, well, some of you young people might not, but you remember, y'all olders, remember when they was talking about everything was going to go haywire in the year of 2000? Y2K. Everything's going to go haywire. We need to do this, and we need to do that, and we need to get things that run on, you know, don't run on electricity, and we need to get seeds and plant them ourselves, and we need to can up stuff, and all this good. People panicking over nothing. Spending services, teaching people what they needed to do for Y2K. A waste of time. But there's an angel leading us. Brother Branham said the angel that appeared, he says, with Israel, they were led by a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And he said, what it was the angel of the covenant. Was the pillar of fire was the angel of the covenant. And he said, then the angel of the covenant come and had his picture made with us. He said, not just me, you're part of it too. You're the bride. And he said, that same angel is the one leading us to the rapture. And in one place he was talking about it, he said, talking about the angel of the covenant, and that, and he said, and that same angel ain't 5 feet from me right now. Amen. He said, and I stand here with my Bible open, and on some day I'll be judged, and you'll know that what I said was true, that he's 5 foot from me right now standing here. And he's leading us, he said. Brother Branham had a vision of the bride. He said he was caught into a vision. He said he went into like a trance. And in the message of the masterpiece, he said, this is the first time I'm going to tell about it. And he said there was somebody standing by him. He didn't see him, but there was a voice he heard. And it said, this is the preview of the bride. And said, here she come marching. And said they were wearing each one, they was wearing different clothes. Their clothes weren't all the same. They were wearing different outfits, different clothes, each one. And he said they looked so beautiful. And they were so modest. And they were so holy looking. And he said, all the women had long hair. And he watched as they came by and he thought how beautiful they were. And then the voice said, now it's time for the church to come by. And Brother Branham says in the vision, as this next group of people come walking by, as they walked by, he said, they got worse and worse and worse. The way they were dressed and the way they were acting. And he said it just got downright filthy. And then it said, here comes the Church of America. Brother Ram said they were the worst of the lot. He talked about how they just had little pieces of cloth for coverings and straps. And he said, and they were twisting and swaying. And said they were just vulgar. And Brother Branham actually said they looked like a bunch of prostitutes. And he thought, my God, is this what we've got to present to you? And the voice said, wait, the bride's got to come again. And he said, up come another group. And that filthy bunch that was called the church said it marched off into chaos and was never seen again. And here come this next group. And he said how they were dressed. And they were, each one of them dressed differently. Different outfits. And they looked holy. And he said, but there were some in the back that got their eyes on that group that was going off into chaos. They got to focusing on them and they got out of step. And he was screaming to them, get back in step, stay in step. And he said they were trying their best to get back in step. But they had to get their eyes off of that church that was going off into chaos. And he said the interpretation of the vision, the reason they were all dressed differently, he said, because they come from different nations. So it was a bride all from all over the world out of different nations is what it represented. And the reason that it said the bride had to come again is just because it was Alpha and Omega. And it said during the ages, the seed went in the ground. So it had to come back again. We're looking forward to that vision taking place. Vision of the rapture taking place. Brother Branham had a vision of a great big animal trophy that he was going to get when he was out hunting. And he didn't know exactly what it was. He thought it was a caribou, but he talked about how that in the vision the antlers were different. They didn't look like a caribou's antlers. It had points instead of being flat. And he said, but then in the vision, there was somebody with small hands that took the measurement and said 42 inches. And Then he had a vision. In the vision, he saw a 9-foot silver-tipped grizzly, which to us, that's a big bear. Brother Branham said it's not the biggest of the grizzlies. There are several different ones in the grizzly family, and he said that one's not the biggest. He said the Kodiak was the biggest, but that's just from a certain region. And so but this was going to be a very large grizzly bear, and he was going to get before he got back to where the other men were, he was going to get that. So he told everybody about it, and in the vision, he had saw somebody was wearing a green checkered shirt. So he asked around when all of them got together to go out on this trip. He said, which one of y'all got a green checkered shirt? Everybody said, not me, I don't got one. And so they went out, and they were out hunting. And after they'd been out there for several days, one morning Brother Eddie Biswell come up out of his tent, and he had on a green checkered shirt. And Brother Branham said, you got the green checkered shirt. He says, Brother Branham, I don't even know how that got in there. My wife must have packed it. I didn't even know it was in my bag. But it was the last shirt he had to wear. And so Brother Branham said, well, there's the green checkered shirt. We're going to get him today. And he's with Brother Bud, you know. And him and Brother Bud went off from the rest of them. They went up into that area. And Brother Bud told him, says, I've got to believe you, Brother Branham. He said, because you told me about my brother that he had epilepsy. And you said when the next time he had a fit, jerk his shirt off and throw it in the fire and he'd be healed. He said, and it happened just exactly what you said. So I've got to believe you, even though he says that we're up here in country where I don't think there is any game. And then out come this massive animal. It was a caribou, but it had points on its horns. And instead of being flat, and he got that caribou, and they skinned it out, you know, and they were bringing it back. And Bud said you was going to get a bear before we got back with the rest of the men. Brother Ron says, I am. And so they saw a big, Brother Branham described what a silver tip was, said it's a grizzly that's black, but the ends of the hair has silver on it, and it'll glisten in the sun. And he saw this animal off in the distance. He said it was so big, it looked like from the distance, he looked like a cow. And he said it was quite some distance off from him, and I forget how many miles it was from him. They looked at it in the glass. But Brother Bud told him, you can hit it from here. And Brother Branham said, no. He says, I was up close on it. Brother Branham talks about, he said, the gun that he had was a 270, he said, which is a small gun, especially for killing a bear. But he said in the vision he had that, and he shot the bear in the heart. So he said, we got to get closer to that bear. And so they kept moving, getting closer and closer to the bear, till they got just so far off from it. And Brother Bud told him, said, shoot it in the back. He said, that way to cripple it, it won't be. He said, because when you hit one of them, they don't know the word die. He said, and them silver tips, they're one of the most fierce of all the grizzlies. And Brother Ram said, but in the vision, I shot him in the heart. He said, well, then you better shoot him in the heart. And so he shot him. Brother Branham said that bear turned and come charging on them, act like he had never even been shot. And it came and plowed into the ground just a few feet from him. Brother Bud said, I didn't want him in my lap, Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, I didn't mean for him to be either, but it had to be according to the vision. And so They couldn't get the horses near the bear because the horses were afraid of the smell of the grizzly. So they couldn't get them horses up near it, so they were going to have to come back after the bear. The two of them couldn't pack him out of there anyway, so they were going to have to come back after him. But they went back after him, but then when they went down there, and they got that caribou down there, then there was a young man there, just about 18 years old. And he went over there and took a tape measure and measured those horns, and it came out 42 inches exactly. Brother Bram said, he never fails. And he said the reason that he was telling about that vision and about those things was to tell you that he never fails. He said, that's why I'm telling you about this during this Sunday school lesson. He never fails. And he said he's preparing a place for us. But Brother Branham said he had another vision. Another vision, he got a bear that was even bigger than that silver tip. And said it was a grizzly, it was a brown colored bear. And so when they went hunting, why, in the vision, Brother Branham was with the young men, and he got this bear. But when they went hunting, they got up there, and Brother Branham didn't end up going with the young men. He went with the older men. And while he was out there, he never saw that bear. You know, there's been many say that the vision never came to pass, and that Brother Branham is going to have to come back to get that bear. How ridiculous. But see, the young men, they saw the bear. The bear appeared exactly the way that Brother Branham had said it was in the vision. None of them would shoot it because they said in the vision, Brother Branham was the one that was to get that bear. And when they got back together, they told Brother Branham what they saw. And Brother Branham remembered he was supposed to have went with the young men. Now, my point in telling you about this is that the vision still happened. But Brother Branham wasn't in the right place. He wasn't where he should be. But that didn't hinder the vision from happening. The vision of the rapture is going to happen. And you've got to be in the place designated for you to be, to be part of that vision. No one's going to hinder that vision of the rapture from happening. So you need to get where you need to be and where you need to be. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You need to make sure you're in Christ so that you can make it to the place that he's preparing for you. Brother Branham says, in our bosoms, we're longing for that city. And we know he promised it. So we know he's going to keep his promise because he never fails. He said, you might say, Brother Branham, why do you say that on a Sunday school? This is when he was talking about those visions, what he'd had, and about the 42-inch horns and the grizzly and all that. He said, I'm saying this for a reason. Back in the Old Testament, the old sages and prophets and those who'd gone on, they worshiped the God of heaven who showed them visions. And they loved God through his grace, that he loved them, and they longed for a city somewhere. They left their homes and they become pilgrims because they were seeking a city somewhere. And they told things that we see happening today. The same God who loved them by his grace, done those things for them, is the same God that we serve here in this tabernacle this morning, doing the same things. And there is in our bosom a longing for that city, somewhere where they have gone to. And by his word and by the signs of his power, with the same spirit and the same prophecies, the same thing that he did back there to them, he's doing for us today. And you see, it's an infallible proof that it is God and God's truth. So wherever that great city is, and wherever they gather, I'm expecting to see my dying mother of mine and all of you with them over in that city. There with those, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, because the same grace of God that loved them and gave them visions, showed them things to come, is the same God doing the same thing today. Infallibly truth, it is truth, friends. And that he said that, and it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He says in the message of Christ, revealed in his own words, he says, you're going to find out one of these days that when you go to heaven, you don't fly off somewhere. You stay right here too, just in another dimension that's faster than this. Right through this room is coming color. Every color, shirt, dress, whatever you got on, it's eternal. Laying right there on records, going around and around the world. Every time you bat your eye, it's right on record. But it's just another dimension. It's not far away. In that place, there's not going to be any more nursing homes. No more hospitals. No more doctors. No more surgeons. No more respirators. No more oxygen tanks. No canes. No walkers. No wheelchairs. No crutches. There isn't going to be any more heart attacks. There ain't going to be no more dying of cancer. There ain't going to be no more diabetes. There ain't going to be no more high blood pressure. No more diseases. No one grows old and feeble. No more cemeteries. No more funerals. If you make it to that city, you're going to live forever. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We're thankful for the encouragement, Lord. Lord, we preach many things. There's times, Lord, I can see we need to be reminded of this place that we're going to, the place that you're preparing for us. We need to be reminded, Lord, that this world is finite, that it is not going to last forever. It has an end coming. But Lord, we'll never have an end. Lord, we're eternal beings. As the prophet said, we've dropped down into bodies of time. But when time blends into eternity, we'll have new bodies. They won't be bodies of time anymore. They won't be bodies, Lord, that are subject to the curse that was put on man in the fall. It'll be bodies that live forever. Lord, there's not going to be any more cuts, bruises, pain, no cripples. Lord, there's not going to be any mental problems. Lord, there's I think, Lord, sometimes about people that's born this life with Down syndrome and so forth, Lord. Some that's born even worse than that mentally. There's not going to be any of that there. They're going to be free from that. And in this life, dear God, when somebody's born with Down syndrome, it gives them a certain look. We don't know what they really look like because that's not what they're going to look like there. Because there's not going to be any signs of those things. Hallelujah. Lord, it's just going to be so wonderful. Lord, I look forward to seeing my loved ones again. I look forward to seeing my friends again. Ones that have went on by the way of the grave. They're going to resurrect. And we're going to be reunited. Lord, I look forward to that. And I look forward to joining them and going to that place that you've prepared for us. Bless your people, I pray. Amen. You ever, we're getting ready to move from one house to another. It might not be a new, brand new house you were moving to, but in some cases it might have been. But you remember that feeling you feel when you know you're going to live there? And you go through it for the first time? And you're going through and you're actually learning about the place? And you're realizing, this is mine. We had two couples in the church here recently. Just bought homes, their first homes. You know, what was it like the first time you went through it? You know, they took videos of their new homes. A tour on video. What's it going to be like when we step into that city? That place he's prepared for us. In my Father's house are many mansions. Hallelujah. What's it going to be like when we step into that place and start to go through and familiarize ourselves with it? We've read about in the Bible it being streets of gold, but I ain't never walked on a street of gold before. What's that going to be like? I ain't never looked up what Jasper is, but I'm going to know. Hallelujah. And I just wanted to leave you with that little thought. It just came to me. What it's going to be like. There's a song that says, touring that city. Praise the Lord. God bless you.